Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Meats and Livestock Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian livestock industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle forward contract. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps, may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. We've had some really good growth in listenership in the past couple of months. So if you know someone who enjoy listening to this, feel free to share it with them. Or if you yourselves are enjoying it, make sure you follow it on your listening platform or give it a review. That'll help others find us. Today, we're jumping into the recently released quarter one 26 slaughter and production numbers from reported by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and hot off the press today as well, the Q1 feedlot brief reported by MLA and Alpha. There's a few themes, I think, or major takeaways from both of these reports at individual levels and combined. But the first one, importantly, is 2026 looks to be the peak of the cattle cycle. Production, slaughter and exports all aligning to hit highs this year before we move off the peak of the cycle down the other side in 2027. The second thing, herd liquidation has definitely begun across the cattle herd, particularly through New South Wales. And I think the implications of this liquidation, particularly the large number of females we've seen killed, is really going to be felt in 2027. At a processing level, New South Wales and Victoria are operating quite close to capacity, whilst your other major state of Queensland, there's a bit of room there, and South Australia, Tassie and WA, there's still plenty of room for additional cattle to be put through those facilities. On the feedlot side, we're really seeing this structural shift accelerate towards a much more balanced grain-fed system. And what I mean by that is production numbers now at their highest levels for grain-fed cattle as a share of total since the rebuild. And that's not accidental. That's a case of moving towards this longer-term shift, which we're now seeing accelerate in grain-fed cattle share of total beef production. There's a lot of numbers and detail in both of these data releases, but I think we've got to really boil it down to what does it actually mean for the broader industry and at a production level. The first thing is the data's telling us, it's confirming this anecdotal evidence we already knew about the big numbers of females being processed out of New South Wales that have been turned off in the early stages of this year because of dry weather. And it solidifies that point in my mind that we're going to see the cattle herd liquidate in 2026 overall because of that big turnoff of females. The second thing, it's something I've spoken on this podcast about reasonably regularly, but because of the productivity of the cow herd and how fertile it is, it really does mean now that we can process big numbers of females, but overall the herd size doesn't get affected because we're putting more calves on the ground, more calves are staying alive and then growing through to sow weights. It's not actually impacting, or the larger kill numbers aren't actually impacting the overall herd size. Combine that with improved carrying capacity and operational management from producers, which I've discussed before, more productive and more fertile females, and obviously the genetic composition of the herd, they're all combining together at once to deliver this overall larger herd size operating at or near maximum capacity, but we can still process big numbers of females without that affecting the herd size overall. At a processing level, New South Wales and Victoria, when we compare their performance for Q1 in terms of the number of cattle they killed, they're operating at decile 9 levels. So they're right up there pushing up against capacity in terms of the number of cattle they've killed in the last 10 years. And obviously the last 10 years is the most, or certainly between 25 and 2014-15, it's the most number of cattle we'd processed since the 70s. So realistically, you're looking at very high levels of operational sort of efficiency from processes. They're putting through big numbers of cattle, but it's really pushing up against what they've done in recent history. Queensland, a little different. So it's at decile 8 levels. So there is a bit of room in Queensland for upside and more cattle to go through that system or through those plants in that state, which is pleasing to see. And with additional shifts brought on in Q1 for some plants in Queensland, we should start to see that capacity or the number of cattle go through that that state increase as we reach the seasonal peak in Q3 for Queensland. Your smaller states of WA, South Australia and Tassie, there's still plenty of room in those. So they're not operating anywhere near capacity and there's still room for growth in terms of throughput for those regions. I think this is important to consider when we break down where capacity is operating at for different states on a processing level, because for a producer, when you're considering potentially marketplaces or where to market stock, understanding how plants are operating, whether there is in fact access for hook space, the cost of freight to get them to those locations if you are working on a delivered or a weighed and delivered basis, those sorts of factors and understanding the bigger picture of how plants are collectively operating within each state, I think is important because it's got the ability, of course, to influence, you know, your marketing decisions and marketing channels. Overall, though, results when we combine, well, slaughter and carcass weights, really strong. Big numbers of product is being handled by processors and that's flowing through to exports. And I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. What we're really seeing is, in fact, beef exports act as a lead indicator to particularly production volumes, but also underpinning that is slaughter as well. So I mentioned it a little while ago. Exports obviously very strong. So at the minute, year to April, and I know that's a month over the quarter, but year to April, we're 15% ahead of 25's numbers. Now, that's flowed through into the strong growth of about 7 to 8% we've seen increase quarter on quarter in 26 for production levels. And I think we're going to see that flow through in quarter two as we, you know, get further into 26 is these export numbers we're seeing now will flow back through to high production and slaughter levels when the ABS data is released, albeit extremely delayed. Getting into the detail and the specifics, starting with slaughter, the headline number reads quarter one 26 slaughter was the highest on record at 2.3 million head, closely in line with my forecast at the back end of the last podcast of 2.28. So pleasing to see the estimates were in line with the actual results. Female kill numbers, they hit 1.22 million head. That's the highest for Q1 on, or certainly since the 70s. So the highest in modern processing history, much like a lot of the other results. At a weekly level, we processed on average 177,000 head of cattle. And when you compare that result to the past 10 years, that's at decile 9 levels as well itself. So quite high in terms of weekly kill volumes and overall quarterly kill numbers compared to the past 10 years. Comparing, or something that's probably worth recognising, is we've seen a bit of a slip in New South Wales and Queensland processors reporting to the NLRS. That has meant the reporting difference between what we read on NLRS volumes and what's actually reported by ABS has actually ticked up to its highest level since COVID, or the back end of COVID. About 27.5% is the difference. So when you see 160,000 head processed, or pardon me, reported by MLA, that figures 205 to 210,000 head. It is higher than what that NLRS reports because it's voluntary. And I think also important to acknowledge that we have seen a number of processes simply by looking at or comparing the data sets, stop reporting or limit reporting to the NLRS. Breaking the ABS data for Q1 on slaughter down to a state level, the big growth was really seen in New South Wales and Victoria. Now that's a combination of increased shifts, but also growing capacity we've seen out of plants within both of these states invest in increases in capacity. There's a number of them throughout both states that made investment in their facilities. And we're obviously seeing that sort of that investment mature, whereby capacity can increase, but also now the addition of more shifts to handle this larger number of cattle is also affecting that. I think another factor, particularly on Victoria, despite seasonal conditions in broader southern Australia gradually improving, kill rates in Vic are right up there with their highest levels they've been since the 70s. And what I think that tells us, and it's a good reminder, is, you know, there's not really big numbers of cattle left in Victoria and southern Australia. You know, they've gone through a liquidation period themselves. Numbers are down, but slaughter's operating really strongly. What it shows to you is Victorian processing plants are full of northern cattle. Whether that's cows or grain-fed cattle from other states doesn't necessarily matter, but the draw and the pull by Victorian processors of stock in quarter one this year is still really, really significant. And, you know, those southern plants are still full of northern cattle. Looking at Queensland, the big one, on average, it's added 4,000 head per week to its kill compared to the March quarter in 2025. What's dictating that? That's certainly additional shifts. There's a number of processors in the state that have added additional shifts this year, and I think we'll see that weekly kill rate in Queensland lift further in Q2 as those ABS results start to pick up those additional shifts, and obviously the higher throughput we'll start to see out of those plants. Looking at the smaller states, South Australia, Tassie and WA, across the board, actual throughput numbers were firm year on year. There wasn't much change there, but still pretty positive results when you compare them to sort of longer term historical performance. SA numbers continue to rise. I think that's a good one to recognise and acknowledge on the back of the Murray Bridge plant starting to really increase its throughput. It's now moving back towards where it was performing sort of 8 to 9 years ago when the Murray Bridge facility burnt down. So good to see that continual steady improvement in processing numbers out of that state. At a production level, carcass weights lifted about 7 to 8 kilos a head quarter on quarter, and year on year, it was about 10 kilos, 11 kilos. And that somewhat counter seasonally, so the combination of highest carcass weights since COVID, basically, or since the end of the rebuild in 23, and strong slaughter numbers, we've seen actual overall beef production hit its second highest level on record. So the sharp jump in carcass weights, I think, can be explained by a few things. Firstly, it is the contribution, and really the ultimate reason is the contribution of this increasing grain-fed turnoff, which hit another record in quarter one. But also I think a little bit of it is to do with the wet winter and sort of wet dry season we saw for, or particularly the wet winter, I should say, but the wet winter we saw last year sort of delayed the delivery of cattle. Producers chose to retain a few numbers themselves in spring and actually sell in the early new year. That coincided naturally with dry conditions, particularly in northern New South Wales. But the good spring a lot of people had was meaning that heavier cattle that were withheld and sold in the early parts of this year were actually a bit heavier than usual. And I think the addition in quarter one of this year was that increase in the number of, you know, heavier Angus females and Bos Taurus, sorry, females processed in quarter one than what we'd usually see because of that sort of hurried or heightened turnoff out of the northwest in New South Wales. So I think that's contributing, you know, those heavier Bos Taurus carcasses or bodies have also contributed there. But ultimately the main reason is driven by the increase in grain fed turnoff, which accounted for 45% of total slaughter in quarter one, highest since Q3 22. And obviously that larger share of grain fed slaughter has meant carcass weights have jumped. Talking on grain fed turnoff numbers, moving past the ABS data of slaughter and production, and now looking at the Q1 Alpha MLA feedlot brief, really significant result to come out of that report. And I think it just further gives us clarity of how big this structural shift really is as we move a lot closer towards a balance between grass and grain of 50-50 in the Australian beef industry. Pretty much every key metric that we look at or consider out of this report, so that's numbers on feed, capacity, turnoff, utilisation, they were all broken or they were the biggest numbers we've had reported in pretty much most of those metrics. The big one is turn off or grain-fed cattle slaughter cracked 1 million head for the first time. And what that meant was in Q1, we processed also for the first time over 80,000 head of grain-fed cattle a week. Queensland and New South Wales, the two major states, the grain-fed share is moving much closer in quarter one of this year, or grain-fed share of total in both of New South Wales and Queensland is nearing those levels we saw during the rebuild of 2020 to 22. Now, this isn't rebuild driven because grain-fed is accounting for a much larger share of about 52% in New South Wales and about 65 to 70% in Queensland of cattle processed weekly are grain-fed. That's not to do with the rebuild. That's to do with both states' processes and their kill chains really focusing on grain-fed cattle. It's this structural shift I sort of talk about a bit in this section of the episode. It's prioritized towards grain-fed cattle, and that's coming up in the data. You can see the processes are really preferring grain-fed stock. And when you break it down to a grass grain split in the major states of New South Wales and Queensland, it's clear the processors are making a concerted effort to focus on grain-fed cattle. It's that structural shift I'm talking about overall that we're seeing towards grain-fed numbers. So much like this rapid acceleration we've seen in grain-fed turnoff. So between, in the last 3 years, between Q1 26 and Q1 23, numbers of grain-fed cattle turnoff has lifted by nearly 60%. Or it's gone from about 670,000 head through to 1.05 million. And that sharp rally or increase in the number of cattle we're turning off in feedlots is now actually translating into grain-fed beef or grain-fed cattle having a higher share of overall slaughter numbers and a higher share of total beef production. It's that structural shift accelerating. We're now seeing it down the next level of the supply chain, which I think is really interesting. On capacity, again, it broke a record, but the smaller states, Victoria, South Australia, WA, we've actually seen a contraction in capacity in those states year on year, whilst New South Wales and Queensland continue to do the heavy lifting and they're expanding at a rapid rate of knots. When you compare capacity to numbers on feed to capacity, we get utilization. That, I think, is the big one in this report alongside turnoff. So nationally, feedlots remain very, very full. Utilization rates sat at 92%, down not by much on December, but well up on March of 25. WA as well grew quite strongly year on year. Its utilization rate up 11%. New South Wales and Queensland, much the same. There's the feedlotters are using pen space more this year or this March compared to last. Another one, which I think is really worth recognising and acknowledging, Queensland feedlots have really shortened days on feed in the past 12 months or the length of time cattle are spending in feedlots. Now, I think there's a few reasons for that, but if you actually look at the data, the number of cattle on feed over the last 12 months has risen by 9%, but Queensland's grain-fed turnoff has risen by 31%. So the difference there in the number of cattle pushed out of feedlots compared to the number of cattle put into feedlots or the actual overall number of cattle in feedlots is substantially diverged. Now, I think there's a few things that are the cause of that. We know Queensland's the dominant state for numbers on feed and feedlotting in general, but consider the announcement made in early January by the Chinese Ministry of Commerce that Australia would deal with an import tariff of 55%. And look at the 31% growth in turnoff year on year. That gives you a pretty clear indication that Queensland brands, exporters and feedlotters are rushing to get product out the door, shorten the length of programs that cattle are on feed, and get them into a facility in a box in China before we hit quota. I think that's a really great figure and a great example of that sort of rush to get cattle out of programs early into a box and overseas. But I think there's a few other factors as well. You know, feedlots are presented with ample supply and have been for the past 12 months. Margins generally have been pretty good. I know it's moved around in the short term, but haven't been too bad, particularly when you consider utilization of the actual feedlots themselves. Producers are operating at or near capacity. But I think the big factor to that increase in Queensland shortening its days on feed is really to do with that China situation. So as we watch that play out through the year, you'll get a better picture of what that really looks like and whether that's a structural trend we're seeing for feedlots to reduce days on feed whilst there's big numbers of cattle around, which is common and does happen, or whether this is just a blip on the radar simply driven by the China situation. Breaking down grass-fed versus grain-fed slaughter numbers, grain-fed slaughter as a percentage of the total hit its highest levels since Q3 2022, which was when we were in the depths of our last rebuild, and that was 45%. So you're moving back towards the highs we saw when basically no grass-fed cattle were moving out of the system because producers wanted to retain them to rebuild numbers. Comparing grass-fed to grain-fed slaughter year on year and seasonally how that's looking, grass-fed kill numbers declined by 4%, grain-fed increased by 22%. So we're continuing to see, I think that's a pretty clear indication to me of, yes, there's more cattle in feedlots, but less cattle are being turned out of a grass-fed system, despite the fact that we've got this really big number of females getting processed. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, 1.22 million head of females getting killed, but we've seen overall grass-fed slaughter decline by 4%. On top of that, and the way you read into that a little further, is we have a lot more heifers on feed now than we have really ever had in feedlots. And it's disappointing that we can't get access to heifer numbers on feed, because I think it'd be pretty clear for everyone to see how many heifers are now in feedlots. But that shift there, I think, is a pretty clear indication. Breaking it down a little further, weekly grass-fed kill numbers are now down, or in quarter one of this year, we're down below 100,000 head a week, sitting at around 95,000-96,000 head of grass-fed kill on average a week. It does show that acceleration away from grass-fed cattle towards grain-fed cattle. That's all from the releases of both of these data sets. There's a fair bit in that, and particularly at a numbers and a data level. But I think probably the big things to take away, if you look at the ABS results, the herd is entering liquidation, and quarter one confirms that with the number of females we're killing. The second point, New South Wales and Victorian processes are operating at or near capacity compared to previous performance. Production is really, really strong, and you can see exports are acting as a lead indicator for these strong production results we've seen in the first quarter of this year. And then when we look at it, the feedlots and how they're performing continues to expand. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. But I think the big takeaway from that is this structural shift is accelerating as we move further down the supply chain, with processes prioritizing grain-fed kill cattle or grain-fed cattle over grass-fed, and feedlots are also chock-a-block. If today's episode or any others have raised any questions, feel free to send me an email to ripley.atkinson@stonex.com or record a voice note of yourself, where you're from, and the question, and we'll get to answering it in the next episode. As I mentioned at the start, if you're enjoying this, feel free to share it with a friend or give it a follow and a review on your favorite listening platform. Thank you for listening, and until next time, take care. Cheers.